Pigeon.
Make Maddie proud. Make Daddy proud.
Don't dye your hair.
It's only a game. Why you have to be mad?
Hello, welcome back, everybody. Do we want to start with wellness check? I guess we will. It's There was like a hopeful eh. That's what that was. It was hopeful a little bit. Like, I'm still just vibing, fully knowing that the Leafs will be playing Tampa Bay in the playoffs. But also, I have hated basically every lineup we've had. And I need Ryan O'Reilly to come back so we can stop playing 11 forwards, 70. Like, just pick six of them, please. I'll be grumpy about which six. I'm sorry. I have the Leafs game open on my other tab, and they just showed a replay of Mitch Marner heading the puck. Like, the puck is coming out of this Leafs zone. He's at the blue line, and it hit, like, off the top of his head, and he clearly jumps to make it go further. So just, like, fully stopped my entire thought process. I was like, Mitchell? What's going on? Okay.
I mean, right idea, wrong sport.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, definitely, like, head the puck into the net, I guess, is okay. Most of the heading, not good, I think. John Tavares, my dad just texted me telling me that he headed the puck. This is important news. John Tavares just went to the dressing room also. I think he got a puck to the hand. Actually, okay, if you asked me what happened with the Leafs this week, it was 11 forward, 7D most of the time, except not all of the time. And I don't remember whether or not they won or lost this week. I think they did one of each. But mostly, I remember Austin Matthews got hit in the dick twice this week.
Nice.
Yeah, so he got hit yesterday's game. But it was like, it didn't look like it hurt as much. But the other game, I don't remember who they were playing. It might have been Nashville again, actually. But they were up like 4-0, and we're like, why is Austin Matthews on the ice when they're up 4-0 playing like this team that they're clearly gonna win against? And it's the last like 45 seconds. We're like, okay, why is he there? And then he gets hit, and we all think the way he's standing, we think he's holding his hand, and we're like, fuck, not again. And then they're like, no, it's not his hand. He got hit in the dick.
Oh, Austin.
Anyway, that honestly made me laugh really, really hard. Okay, what else happened with the Leafs? Oh, they signed Ryan Tverberg to a contract. He just finished his college season. He's played, I think, at least one game with the Marlies, maybe more than one, because the Marlies had also been playing 11 forwards and 7D. For some reason, we have too many defensemen, which doesn't sound right.
No.
What happened? Anyway, he's been playing with the Marlies. I watched a little bit of yesterday's game, and they lost pretty handily. They lost the last time I tried I don't think I tried watching them, but like I checked and I'm like, what happened? They lost like 3-0 twice to the Charlotte Checkers. I hate that team name so much. Very hard for me to say.
You know what they should be? The Albany River Rats. But
exactly.
We had to move to Charlotte. Had to move the team closer.
Exactly. So I don't remember. I was just talking about the Marlies, and I don't remember where my point was going at all.
Charlotte Checkers, they lost.
Yeah, so the Marlies haven't looked super great either, but also, like, Bobby McMahon, who's their leading scorer and, like, drives a lot of the offense, was up with the Leafs when they lost to to Charlotte, I think, or he was injured, or maybe both. Anyway, he's injured right now.
He was somewhere.
Yeah. But they have clinched a playoff spot, which, good for them.
Yeah.
They can also just kind of vibe from now on and just figure out who's playing where, which defenseman they want. Because Carl Dahlstrom is back. Because at the beginning of the season, he was injured literally in training camp. Otherwise, with all the Leafs injuries, he would have been a stalwart on Leafs defense, and they might not have acquired, like, Luke Shen. So I will not complain. And he looked pretty back from the little bit I watched yesterday. There was, like, one play where he just kind of broke into the offensive zone. I don't remember what type of player he was, but he, like, broke into the offensive zone and, like, had a good opportunity. So he's, like, ready to go.
If the Marlies need to hire anyone, I'm ready. I'm right here. I'm in my gear.
Yes.
Put me on the ice in this.
I have the most random things bookmarked at this point. Like, they're just, Alex Steves was with the Leafs for a bit. He was sent back down. I lost my mind. They've been rotating the D. So they sat Riley one day. They sat Giordano. Just basically Giordano's was a reward. I think Riley's was a punishment and Giordano's was a reward. Like, you have played every single game this season. You're 39 years old. Just take a little break.
You deserve this.
You deserve this, exactly. Yeah, so, like, I think every single person who's, I guess, the 7D, every single one of them has sat for a game now. Justin Hall is still, like, very inconsistent, but Liljegren's also been inconsistent, and I don't know what's wrong with him. Like, why does he keep doing this? So we'll see. What's up with them? That's all I have to say. We'll see what's up with them. The Growlers also clinched their playoff spot already.
We love that for them.
Yeah. Me too.
What an organization.
What else? Ilya Samsonov's wife had a baby. So he has been, it's been like 3 or 4 days.
Why? For a second, I pictured Ilya Samsonov as, oh my God, Shogren for a second. I was like, Shogren has a wife and a kid?
Oh my God. Okay. So yesterday in the Marlies game, that was one thing we were, like, struggling, because it's this stupid, like, stream in the Leafs app that we were trying to watch. And we're, like, struggling to get it to go. And at one point when it was unpaused and actually playing something for us, it was Shogren looking really angry. And then we finally caught the replay, and it was because his mask got knocked loose. He knocks it off and he's yelling at the ref and yelling at the ref and yelling at the ref, and they're not blowing it. And then he gets hit in the head with someone's stick. And then I think it, like, another 25 seconds passed, and then they blew it. Like, ridiculous. At that point, he should have just shoved the net off.
Mm-hmm.
Because clearly these refs were absolute shit. Literally, if they're not looking at him. God. As he's yelling.
That is horrid. Also, looked it up. He is 26 years old. I thought he was 22. But also, that's me going off of his face.
Yeah, I was going to say, he does have a bit of a baby face.
But he's Swedish, so it makes sense. I feel like most Swedes have baby faces.
Yeah. Not Timothy Liljegren.
Not...
He's the exception. Like, this man came in with a full mustache his first year on the Marlies, and we're like, yes, this is a 25-year-old.
Oh, like that sometimes.
Yeah. He also left yesterday's game with maybe 5 minutes left due to some discomfort in his groin. So we'll see where that goes. Sam Lafferty, also on baby watch. His kid is due in the, quote, sweet spot, right between when the regular season ends and when the playoffs start. Like,
well, happy last weeks of pregnancy. Hope it all goes well for you and your family.
Mm-hmm. I just, like, I have lots of questions for this, for hockey players about, like, do they plan? They don't plan. Their wives maybe plan, but I don't think they are involved in the planning.
No, definitely not. I feel like it is one almost, I'm sure some of them are involved, but, like, for the most part, almost 100%, I would say it's the wives being like, okay, this is what we're going to try.
Yeah.
So then we have it here.
Exactly. Because the other thing is, like, they were asked, my dad said there was a conversation on the radio with, like, two former players, and they basically said, like, we didn't do it, but we didn't have kids until after we retired, and they retired probably, like, 36-ish. So, like, that kind of makes sense. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little before that. But, like, that kind of makes sense depending on how much younger your wife is and stuff. But, like, they were talking about Luke Shen having a baby, like, mid-season. To me, Luke Shen and his wife did not think that they were going to be on a team where they were playing hockey that mattered.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, that's 100% the thought process. They're like, sweet, get a week off from the Canucks, I'm in.
Like, exactly. Like, don't gotta worry about it. Mm-hmm. It's fine. Like, we'll still be chilling. But yeah, if you're on, like, a team that you're like, ooh, we can go pretty far, you know, these games matter, then it's like, gotta do a little bit more planning there.
Exactly.
I was saying this to my friends during the Super Bowl, because Jason Kelsey's wife brought her OB and OBGYN, I think. I don't know, or two of her OBs, not sure.
I love it.
To the Super Bowl, because, like, I'm pretty sure the Super Bowl was, like, her due date or something. Not sure if that's actually true, but, like, around her due date, like, she could have gone into labor. Mm-hmm. Especially, like, at a high, like, that's stressful. Watching your husband playing in the Super Bowl, you're like, oh my god, and that can, you know, induce labor. And I was saying to my friends, I'm pretty sure a few years ago someone did leave either an important game or the Super Bowl because his wife was, like, someone called, it was like, your wife's going into labor, and he decided to leave the game and go to the hospital. I was saying to my friends, I don't think, like, with a professional athlete, like, I don't think the whole, like, giving birth thing, you gotta plan that, like, gotta give birth when you're not playing.
Exactly. Like, especially because football season's not that long.
No.
Right, there's like, hockey season longer it. Because of how long the playoffs go. Like, the playoffs, there's also no need for the playoffs to be, like, 2 months long, frankly. But anyway, but, like, with hockey, assuming you're on a good team, say your team makes it even to the conference finals, you're playing from October, like mid-October to mid-June. Beginning of June. That's a long time.
Yep.
And, like, don't forget, you have to go to training camp. If you're a fringe player, you need to be at training camp.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, that's a problem.
Yeah. Like, it is. And also, at least with football, you're only playing certain days. Hockey, you can play any goddamn day of the week, anytime.
Exactly. That's also true.
It's like, There's really not much work around with hockey and babies.
No. You're doing your best to aim for the summer.
Yeah.
Like,
hopefully either work out. Like a
3-month window. Yeah.
I don't want a summer baby, so not marry a professional athlete and at least a hockey player in this lifetime. I want a January baby, goddammit.
Okay, so you aim specifically for bye week.
My birthday. Oh my god. All-star weekend usually always falls like on or around my birthday. Oh my god, my kid and I could share the same birthday. I think that's enough about like pregnancy and hockey, and I just think we gotta get over that hump.
Yeah.
I'm thinking too much into this.
Let's continue. Fun, not fun. Leafs goalie stats. Matt Murray's save percentage at home is .880, and his save percentage away is .920. And Samsonov's save percentage at home is .929, and away is .892. So I'm feeling like in the playoffs, we should just Samsonov at home, Matt Murray away.
Yep.
Joe Wall, if required.
Is he hurt right now? I saw something about him.
Wall? He's playing today.
Okay, never mind. Maybe it was something. Maybe it was someone was hurt and he, not like someone like on the Leafs, but maybe I read like a tweet kind of like simultaneously that somebody somewhere was hurt, but he was playing. They might have been notifications that came in at the same time. My brain went, Joseph Wall hurt.
That's possible.
Alex, wrong.
Correct. Anything else of note with the Leafs? No, not really. They like to sometimes lose and sometimes win, and sometimes they play well, and other times they're playing the most cursed game I've ever seen. That was yesterday. It was so cursed. Would you like to, okay, this is actually very important. Okay, yesterday's game, they're playing Carolina. They lose 5-3. One of those is an empty net. The Leafs had, why don't you have the shots on goal? Where is it? 44 shots on goal. 44. This freaking kid who's playing for Carolina stopped 41 of those 44 shots. Like, ridiculous. And the thing was, like, Austin Matthews had 15 shots. He scored 2 goals, but he had 15 shots. Like,
okay. Austin, I was keeping up. I was watching through Twitter while I was at a concert last night. It was last night that Austin Matthews was like, we're not done here. And then everyone else just got like, we're done.
Yeah.
Michael Bunting was a little hoppies.
Yes. Oh my God. On that goal, they like, Michael Bunting literally hopped. He looked like a child. Like, he looked like, we were trying this year when I was coaching, one of the girls who I coach, she wanted to play goalie for most of the year, and she had never scored a goal before, but she'd played for a couple years because she usually played defense. And I was like, okay, this is Marin's last game playing out. You guys need to get her a goal. Like, I told our stronger forwards that. I was like, this is what we're doing. We're trying to get Marin a goal. And like, they did, and you should have seen her. Like, she looks so excited.
Like, that's so cute.
Her and Michael Bunting were the same. She is 11.
I love that. I was trying to explain to my friends how Michael Bunting is always the most annoying person in the room.
That's really hard to be when you have Mitch Marner on your team.
I was trying to explain. I was like, I guess like this is a lot of Megan and I just projecting on him. But also, it's just vibes, you know?
Tell me I'm wrong.
Literally. And they're like, no, I don't know. I have no idea what you're saying. And I'm like, it's okay.
Yeah,
no. Megan and I know what we're saying.
We do. We're right. We are right.
You don't understand. He has control of the playlist and da da da. And they're like,
that's the other thing. Information. Yes. That's the other thing we learned this week was the Leafs had these like weird random polls on their Instagram that were like trivia. And it was like, who's the Leafs DJ? And it was Michael Bunting. And we're like, excuse me? Michael Bunting?
Who okayed that? Other than him. Nobody okayed it. He said, okay, guys, tips on aux.
Yeah. He just sits beside it and he's like, my. You come near him and he like growls at you.
Don't touch.
Yeah, they're like, we have to let Mikey play his tunes or else he's gonna be worse than he already is. They all get like the noise canceling. They all have the noise canceling thing on their AirPods on.
Like, sure. Michael Bunzi's just hopping around the room, jamming.
Yeah.
I'm sure everyone else is having a good time.
But Mitch is into it, so it doesn't matter. The two of them. Don Tavares is trying not to murder someone.
Yep. Don Tavares is like, let me listen to my podcast on how to be a successful person.
Yeah.
Think happy thoughts.
Exactly. One more thing of note from yesterday's very cursed game was not only the number of scoring chances, there was a lot of like really quality ones, and like the goalie made I think two separate really insane saves, and also the Hurricanes had a 5-on-3 in the first 2 minutes of the game. Like, the first penalty, sure, whatever, definitely a penalty, it was like a hook or something, sure. The second one was the lamest, I can't remember what it was, but it was so lame, and I was like, what is this? Like, and I hadn't even started the game yet, and then I like get the notification that the goal and it says 5-on-3, and I'm like, okay, we need to rewind this, like I need to see what just happened. Yeah, so as you can tell, the game did not improve from there.
No,
it genuinely became worse. Like, the most cursed, one of the most cursed games I've seen from the Leafs in a long time. What else? Who else did they play this week? Okay, they beat, oh, they, like, murdered Florida 6-2. One with an empty net goal, but still, 6-2. Austin Matthews had back-to-back two-goal games this week, which we love. This man is, he's peaking when he should be. He's ready to go. And they lost to the Islanders 7-2 this week. One of those was an empty net goal, but there was also a goal after the empty net goal. That was Samsonov in net. But that's okay. It's fine. It's fine. I don't need to think about it. They won in a shootout? Yeah, okay. No, the shootout was insane. Do you remember that? How many rounds did they go? Like, it was like 10. Oh, hold on. I got the breakdown here.
Thank God.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9 shooters. In case you were wondering the order, William Nylander, Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, Cali Yarncroak, John Tavares, Morgan Rielly, Michael Bunting, Bobby McMahon, Alexander Kerfoot. So Alexander Kerfoot won the shootout for the Leafs, as any of us might have expected.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like really normal things happened. We'll just say, sure, normal. The Leafs had a great, they also lost in a shootout the same week to Colorado, which, fair.
Be expected.
Yeah. I don't know. The Leafs are like really fucking weird right now. I don't know what's up with them. Figure your shit out. Give me Ryan O'Reilly back and I think we'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's it for Leafs for now until they inevitably, I don't know, head the puck again or something.
Do something.
Okay. We'll start whatever reverse chronological order because I'm at the top of my bookmarks right now. The Bruins not only have clinched a playoff spot, but have also clinched the Atlantic Division championship. Insane. Oh, sorry, I lied. There's one more Leafs thing. Joe Biden was in Ottawa for, you know, political reasons. I don't know. I don't really actually know what they did. They walked. There's a photo of them walking. Joe Biden said this lovely thing, and that's all I know that happened. Honestly, politics, like, when, like, foreign politicians come, I'm just like, this is just PR. They're not actually talking about real things. Like, him and Trudeau were just talking about the Leafs game. Like, they're, or, like, probably the Habs. But still, like, they're not talking at, they're not talking about, like, important political things.
Not at all.
Anyway, Joe Biden said in front of the parliament, which is in Ottawa, I like your teams except the Leafs, which my dad was trying to explain it as, well, you can't say I accept the Senators because, you know, that has a different connotation, except the Canadians, again, different connotation, Canucks, again, a different connotation. And we're like going through the list of Canadian hockey teams. But my thing is, he knows his audience. He knew he was in Ottawa, so he's got to say the Leafs. Like, come on.
Not my president. And all that jazz, you know. How it be.
Yeah. Okay, this is random, but I'm just going to mention it now because I don't care and I will forget later. I forgot that there was a men's world. I'm, like, all amped up for the women's world. I was, like, sorting out what tickets, like, what games I'm going to. And, like, I gave away 3 sets of tickets to some of the girls I coach this week. So, like, I'm, like, fully in women's world mode. I forgot there was a men's world, which, I mean, most people don't care. And it's not best on best, so why the fuck are we watching it? Mm-hmm. But anyway, they named Doug Armstrong as GM with Steve Yzerman and Shane Doan, in case you were wondering, and or care. Like, how, it's not that hard to be GM of this team, because you just go, oh, I don't know, Dylan Strome, you're out of the playoffs, come play for me. You had a great year. Your team's not making the playoffs. Like, that's literally what it is.
You pick what you can.
Exactly. Like, it's just a random, you just take who's available, like the best available players, and you can literally just pull up a fantasy roster and be like, okay, so this mm-hmm. guy's Canadian and he's out of the playoffs, all right, I'll take him. Like, honestly, easiest job. I could do that, no problem.
Oh yeah.
In fact, if I cared a little more, I might, just to prove to you that I could pick exactly the team that they're gonna pick, but we'll see. I might have some time. I should have some time at the end of April before they announce who's on the team, and once we know who's out for sure, I might do that. And then you have to factor in the, like, well, will Dylan Strome bother coming? He has, like, a young daughter. You gotta factor all these things in. Anyway, since I brought up Dylan Strome, it's his daughter's birthday today, or his daughter's birthday party today. I don't know if it's a birthday, but they literally, like, rented a pony for her birthday.
I love that.
I just, like, he's letting his daughter live every little girl's dream. Anyway, that's all I had to say about Dylan Strome. Oh gosh. Unfortunately, the next thing on my list is Connor McDavid. 3 days ago, he had scored 60 goals. I'm fairly confident it's more than that now. That was a whole 3 days ago.
Easily.
Mm-hmm. Okay. NHL. Stats. Goals. Nope, only at 60. Lame. Connor McDavid, why didn't you score yesterday?
He said, I'm taking some time off.
Yeah, that must be it. I don't know why I say this. Colorado signed Jared Bednar to a 3-year extension. He's their coach, in case anybody forgot and or, I don't know, cares. Okay. I don't think we have enough time on this one. Do we see? Do I have? Zdeno Chara is actually insane. Like, we do know he is retired, allegedly, but he's also 46 and going to participate in the Boston Marathon. Because why not? Like, man, just chill. Do you know how to do, like, normal things? Normal people don't want to run marathons.
No, but I guess...
Okay. I genuinely think every single person who wants to run a marathon is insane. One of my friends wants to, and I'm like,
same. No.
Why? Why my do you friend, want to do this?
My friend that I live with, she decided randomly one day that she's going to start training for a marathon and run a marathon. And I'm like, why? They're also turkey trot people, though, and I just can't get behind that. No, thank you. I'm not waking up on Thanksgiving to run. I will say, give me some food and then I'm out.
I do not even, I hate running so much. Absolutely so much.
I actually, like, no, I can't. Granted, also, my doctor tells me I'm not allowed to run. Because from the sports that I played, I know, I do have PCS. From the sports that I played, I have no, like, all of my ligaments and my ankles are, like, stretched out. Mm. So whenever I run, my, like, ankle, like, locks. So, you know.
Yeah, don't do that.
So I have a valid excuse. Exactly. But I also think a valid excuse is running is absolutely disgusting. It's hard on your legs. It's hard on your body. Why would you want to?
And why do you think it's fun? It's not fun.
People who, like, run because it's calming? No.
No, I am fighting for my life. Like, absolutely not.
Like, I guess if you're Zdeno Chara and you've been training that insane for most of your life, I guess, like, kind of not doing anything is also hard on the heart and the brain. So you have to do something, but a marathon is your choice?
Yeah, like, I don't get that. Pick up a different sport or a sport you played as a kid. Play beer league hockey. Stunt on all the beer league guys. Like, come on.
Also, actually, everyone would think you're the coolest. Like,
exactly.
All of those fucking Boston guys? Come on.
Yeah. Actually, one of the guys I coach with, he played in the OHL, but he said he plays on a beer league team. He's like probably mid-40s. And he's like, yeah, there's like a couple NHLers on our team, and we're going to like this men's over 35 beer league finals. Like, I'm like, what are you talking about?
Absolutely hilarious. One of my friend's boyfriend plays on a beer league, and there's like current ECHLers, because beer league, they do it kind of like year round or whatever, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know, they have like different like summer season, winter season. So for the summer season, there's Adirondack Thunder kids, and then there's a couple of like kids from that play in the Russian league that for some reason play in like the Swedish league, and I'm like, what the hell are you, like, what?
Exactly. Like, I don't understand. But yeah, he was literally like, yeah, so we're going to go play in like these finals against like Belleville, which is like close to Ottawa, and like I don't know, a couple of like all over Ontario, they're playing in these beer league finals against teams from all over Ontario. And I'm like, I'll okay, have fun. Sure, with that.
Right. my friend's boyfriend, he big Penguins fan, his like childhood hero, one day he randomly played against him in this beer league, and I was like, what the hell, why beer league? I mean, yeah, you're doing something, but like, why are you in Albany, New York also?
Yeah, like, it's honestly, well, I mean, Ontario's just kind of like that. Like, I went to school with the kid of a former NHLer. He was a shitty person though, and like was real shit to her mom and her siblings. And I played hockey with and went to school with another daughter of a former NHLer. Like, he runs a hockey camp here. It's just like, I don't know. Ontario's weird. It's just, you just like, sometimes you're walking around and then there is a former NHLer.
Your mind's just like, oh, hey, I recognize that face.
Yeah, you're just like, oh.
All right.
Okay. Noted. Continuing on. Especially if you live, like, there's, I don't know, there's certain places where you live. Like, I'm from relatively, not a small town, but, like, a smallish area that it's not too many from here or settled here, but, like, it's still weird. Yeah. Anyway, like I said, actually, I don't even think it's just Ontario. It's Canada. And we literally talked about it. Like, Matt Stajan is my second cousin by marriage. Like, this is just how it is. This is what it is to be Canadian, is to know people who know former NHLers, or like, they are the kids of former NHLers, or just like, be related to one yourself. This is how it is. Just the facts. Okay, let's switch meetings. Okay, so I would say the biggest news of this week, I mean, we'll just say one of the biggest news, actual hockey-ish related news, is that Fanatics will replace Adidas as the NHL's outfitter of on-ice uniforms and authentic jerseys beginning into the 2024-2025 season on a 10-year deal. Like, all of us know how shit the quality of Fanatics gear is. And like, I literally saw a tweet that was showing the difference between the Blasty Flames jerseys, like the actual jersey in the Flames store, and the Fanatics one. And like, the coloring's not even right. Not only is it cheaply made, the coloring's not even right. Like, I'm sure the NHL jerseys themselves won't like fall apart, but the stuff that we'll be buying as fans will be absolute garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention, remember, was this just this was definitely actually during like quarantine, when the Alexander Kerfoot abs jersey was on sale for like $7, and basically all of us on hockey Twitter bought one, and then they just didn't say it was out of stock. So like, all of us bought one, and then we all, I don't know if anyone actually got them, and we all just got a refund. It's just like, just, that's all you, I feel like that's all you need to know about Fanatics.
Fact.
I don't even know if it was $7. Like, it might have been less than that. Like, I feel like it was absolutely nothing. Like, I don't know. I just feel like it was nothing at all. And we were like, oh, this is the best deal.
I just want to know, why did the NHL think that they are a good hire? And for 10 years?
Like, yeah, that's the other thing. Like, 10 years is an insanely long period of time for this. Well, for any deal in business, especially in a like fluctuating kind of business like hockey is, like them locking themselves into a 10-year deal with, I think it was NBC, like a few years ago, really threw them off, because there has been a boom in TV like rights. Mm-hmm. So they can't renegotiate this deal, so they're stuck with whatever they were given, like whatever deal they signed, where they are absolutely being lowballed. Like, this is fully the reason why the salary cap isn't going up. Well, part of the reason, we'll talk about another part of the reason a little later, but like, why the salary cap isn't going up, and like, just bad business.
I would like to read the contract between Fanatics and the NHL. Do I understand legal jargon? No. But I feel like that is a very interesting thing to be doing.
Yeah.
It's a choice to me.
It is, and it's a bad choice, as just literally everyone knows. And he's like, Gary will be like, oh, it's good for the fans love it. What? Who the hell are you talking to? Because no one loves the Fanatics stuff. I will say they do sometimes have like some cool designs that we wouldn't see with other manufacturers, but like Adidas and stuff like that have been getting better. Like, I just, that's a no for me. I'm just tired of the NHL being like this, just in general. Like, with why are they so determined to burn this league to the ground? And like, why can't, I don't know who decides why Gary has a job. Is that, would that be the ownership? The team ownership?
Maybe.
Because like, I don't know who's above him. I guess there's a board.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. I would, yeah.
Because,
because
like, Gary Bettman has done so many bad things, including bringing the NHL through its, like, only lockouts. Not bringing the NHL through, being the cause of the NHL
forcing,
two lockouts. Not to mention, like, keeping the best hockey products off the ice in international best-on-best tournaments. Being unwilling to host one for some reason. Like, I don't understand why they can't get a World Cup of Hockey to work. Like, this is good for you. I don't understand it.
I swear, like, he just does not want to grow the sport. And
yeah,
there's probably nobody in that high up place that can make those decisions that want to see change either.
Yeah.
And they're just like, no, we're just gonna keep this as it is. It's working. But I'm like, where are you getting your numbers from? Where are you getting your intel from? What is working? Because you could gain so much from doing so little.
Exactly. And then not to mention, you know, denying CTE and the impact of concussions, whatever other shit. There's so much other shit, but like, I think most notably is, for whatever reason, this man loves the Arizona Coyotes like he has loved nothing else. I don't understand it. We're going to talk about the Coyotes later. It will be after a trigger warning because it's not a good thing to talk about. But like, again, like, there are so many reasons for the NHL not to be tied to the Coyotes, and this is just like another one. They're so, I like, and why has Gary Bettman had this job for 30 years? What has he done? Like, what good has he done in 30 years?
Also, why do you think that the same person needs to be in charge for that long?
Exactly.
Do you know what that's called when that's a person running a country? Like, I know this isn't a country, but like, could, the way Gary Bettman talks, like, you need someone else.
Exactly.
We need a little fix in here.
Exactly. Like, it's bad for the sport to have someone who's even, like, it shouldn't be Bill Daly either. Like, it should be someone new, someone who has new ideas, different ideas. Like,
yeah,
it's just crazy.
Maybe someone who's like, I don't know, a minority.
Oh my god, like, that's wild. Like, asking too much.
I know that's
genuinely
asking so much, but like,
I'm asking for the bare minimum, which is someone younger than Gary Bettman. Like, Which is an insane thing that I have to be like asking for that.
Bar is underground.
Yeah, literally underground. Like, not to mention having a minority, a person of color, a woman, like literally anybody.
Like, it's so wild.
Oh my god. I sometimes hate being a hockey fan.
It's like, I just, someone with ideas, someone that's progressive, but you know what we're not gonna get? Any of those things.
Any of them. Genuinely, I'm not even sure we'll get someone who's not Bill Daly. I also feel like Gary Bettman is not gonna retire. He's like 70 years, actually. I don't think he's as old as I think he is, but I don't know. I feel like he's so old. I'm like, this man, he must be 70, person. Right? He must be 70.
Gotta be. 68.
Close enough. Okay, I was really gonna convince myself that he's actually in his 50s, because I was like, no, he's not that old. It's just me projecting. It's not. He is that old. Man, retire. You're past the retirement age. Just retire.
Lord.
Yeah, I'm just stop, please. Okay, what else? Do I have other men's hockey things here? I'm looking. Man, I have no idea what this tweet is about. I bookmarked one of my own tweets about the refs being garbage, and I don't remember this at all. this is how it is. I forgot about this too. The Panthers and the Habs scored 10 goals in a single period. The other I think it was March 16th. But like, bruh. What the fuck? No goalies here.
Nope.
No goalies here.
Just a free-for-all.
Yeah, just fully a free-for-all. I'm trying to remember what the final score was. Okay, the final score was 9-5 Panthers. Okay. Oh my god, I forgot about this. Okay. Okay, where's the first one? Okay. I don't remember the full context for this tweet, for this thing that happened, but everybody's favorite player, Jordan Binnington, got pissy about something that happened, and then I have to double check what he did. I think he, like, oh, it was after a goal. Of course it was after a goal, this dumbass. Like, you're shit, suck it up. And then he goes and he fucking blockers, he has his blocker, but he also has a stick in his hand, Ryan Hartman in the face as they're celebrating their goal. Like, there's four Minnesota Wild there. And then obviously, like, he gets pulled off and the refs start, like, they start scrumming a little bit, like no one's fighting, and he's like trying to fight the ref to get him to let loose, and then the fucking ref, rude, this is the rudest part, is the fucking ref doesn't let Marc-Andre Fleury fight him.
Rude.
Like, exactly. We needed Fleury to smack his ass. Yeah. And, like, you can see Fleury's a little worked up. But I think you can tell he's worked up because he didn't get to fight. So Binnington got a 5-minute match penalty, so he was kicked out of the game. And then he got, where is it? Was it a 2-game suspension for roughing / unsportsmanlike conduct? I am wondering, okay, so you know how a goalie would never play a back-to-back? So if they had a back-to-back, I feel like that shouldn't count as 2 games. Because it's only 1 game he would have played.
That is true.
Yeah, that's my feeling about it.
I think that his punishment should have been, I'm going to let all of the top scorers in the league just go at you for an hour. Like, just go, go, go. If you're going to get so worked up over people scoring on you, take it.
Yeah.
Like, learn how to be a better goalie. I don't know. Stop the puck.
Stop sucking ass. Like,
that's no one's fault but your own.
Honestly, this genuinely, I think it's all karma for those tweets that are like, if you're on your period, be quiet. Like all of those ones. And like, mm-hmm. I feel like this is just karma. So like every single time this man throws a fucking temper tantrum, it's just me going, ha ha, laughing.
Getting a little gig out of it.
Exactly. Okay, so I didn't actually read this thing, but Greg Wyshynski had an article that says 5 theories on why suspensions are down in the NHL this season. And so this is theory number 5. The Department of Player Safety has become more lenient and selective in its suspensions under George Parros. Well, that is accurate. I don't know if that's why the suspensions are down this season. This said, for the record, this was not a theory that George Parros appreciated. And then he goes on to say, I don't know if that sentiment's out there, but I'd say it's absolutely false. To say that we've been more lenient, I think, is absolutely not the right way to describe whatever's happening with our numbers. Bruh, you have fully been way more lenient. like I said, I don't know if it's what's driving this season, but we are so much, like, we're so used to the most random ass things getting a 2-game suspension. When Brendan Shanahan was the head of player safety, he did a very good job. I would say, like, he was, I frankly think you have to be really strict with player safety,
mm-hmm.
because you are protecting the players.
Safety is the key word here.
Like, George Parros was a fighter. Like, he was an enforcer. Whereas you have Brendan Shanahan, who was a star, more like an Austin Matthews or a Connor McDavid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you watch an Oilers game, every single play, pretty much, that Connor McDavid has the puck, there is a penalty committed against him. Like, and there have been so many things that have happened to him that you're like, oh, that's definitely a suspension. And they just don't.
Nope.
They just don't suspend people and they don't give them penalties. And you're like, well, no wonder. Like, if Connor McDavid, like, boiled over, like, when he does occasionally boil over, like, I get it. I usually support mm-hmm. it because this man deserves it. Like, he gets put through so much shit. And, like, we see a little bit of that with Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner. But, like, just crazy. And I think it was better under Shanahan. And it needs to go back to something like that, where it was a player who is like a Connor McDavid or like an Austin Matthews. Someone who is... like a good player, a skilled player,
mm-hmm.
who's willing to go, oh yeah, we got to protect our players, you know?
Mm-hmm. Like, you need the people, you don't need the doers. You need the people that it's happening to be the ones in control of, hey, that's wrong. That's going to get someone injured if we just let that go, because they're going to now think that it's okay. Go back to preschool. Go to a preschool for like a day, a week. Go watch how teachers handle children
mm-hmm.
that are being rough with other children and not being nice to the other children. Take from that. That's really all you gotta do here. It's the same rules apply. If you keep it together, if you don't punish it and shut it down, the same thing's gonna happen and it's gonna end up worse eventually. Like, they're exactly. gonna end up hurting someone seriously.
Exactly. And like, it does. I mean, obviously player safety is a huge issue. Like, the player safety committee is a huge issue, mm-hmm. but it also, like, boils back down to the referees again. Like, I keep thinking about that playoff game where Nazem Kadri got suspended for the second time, it like basically ended his tenure on the Leafs. The only reason why is because the referees didn't call something that was a super dangerous play.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's what happens. You get vigilante or outlaw justice is what they call it, right? Like vigilante justice. You get that, you reach that point because they,
you just get so fed up.
Like, exactly. Because like the refs aren't doing their job.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to take matters into my own hands. Like, oh, anyway, there's so much wrong with the NHL. That's just like the theme of this episode. There is so much wrong with the NHL. Well, and you know what? We're going to keep going. We are going to keep going.
Not going to end right here, folks.
I just, Tyson Barrie just scored in the Leafs and I forgot that he was traded to Nashville.
Did that happen recently?
Right? Yeah, yeah. It was at the deadline when for Ekholm, I think. But yeah, like I just forgot it was Nashville he was on. Like they showed a shot of him and I'm like, oh yeah, Tyson Barrie.
Oh wow.
Okay. What else happened? The Habs announced that Christian Dvorak had season-ending knee surgery. Unfortunate, RIP. But also rest.
Mm-hmm. Heal.
Heal. Exactly. This was the most insane thing on my timeline. This was March 15th. And the NHL had a Big City Greens game. So it was, this is, Big City Greens is like an animated, I don't know if it's a kid's show. It's a show of some sort. But they're literally, people were watching like the Capitals versus the Rangers in animated form. And it's like live, it's like live real-time animation. So you're just like watching Dylan Strome score on the Rangers instead of watching like actual Dylan Strome, you're watching like this animated player Dylan Strome score, and like it was so, it looked like it was so much fun.
Somebody tweeted, I wish I remember like what exactly the tweet was, I wish I saved it, they were like, imagine just like tuning into this game and you're just so confused because it's animated. I'm like,
yeah,
what is going on?
And like they have, and well, obviously like, you can't tell with the animated guys who's who, but like, it's like a video game. It'll pop up. Like, you know how it would like pop up if you're playing NHL, it'd be like player one or whatever. Mm-hmm. It like popped up like V Tarasenko, like exactly. Like it looked like it was so fun. I genuinely would watch every single NHL game that way. I would watch way more NHL games than I currently watch if it was like this.
Just, I need more of that, and I need someone to, I need them to start filming the games as if it's like a soap opera, like when they go, if they're like down coming out of the second, I need them like, I need a close-up of them just like storming down the hallway, like I need the locker room dogs.
Yeah. When the tent zoom in, like
you get the guy with his head down, it's like,
yeah,
it'd be really riveting stuff.
I think it would be. All soap operas, minimal hachi. The NHL's never gonna live that one down.
No.
There was a GM meeting last week too, where Gary Bettman, you know, said his usual piece, but number one is the NHL's divisional playoff format is working well. Wrong. Fuck off. Stop lying. Stop lying to me, Gary.
Just sorry, my brain shut off as soon as you said Gary Bettman again.
You know what? Fair.
My ears. So fair. Like, I actively just stopped listening.
You're very right for that. It's just moral of the story. Gary Bettman is lying to us again.
What else could we expect?
Exactly. What else would we expect? And the cap is only supposed to go up 1 million, but he leaves the conversation open for the NHLPA to potentially raise it higher. That would be meaning higher escrow. You know what would save you money? Removing the Arizona Coyotes from the league. Move them, remove them, your choice, but they cannot be in Arizona anymore. Like, we already knew that this team was, before they ended up in Mullet Arena, we already knew that this team was bankrolled by the Rangers and the Leafs, like the two highest grossing teams.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm just like they acquire old contracts to reach the cap floor, and you're like, my dude, just pay real people and quit being a money laundering organization. Start being a hockey team. Quit being a money laundering organization.
It's not as hard as you think.
It's not. You have most of a team there already. Andrei Svechnikov had will be having season-ending knee surgery. He for his ACL, I think. Which is unfortunate. Okay.
Tough one.
So I have actually have a bunch of women's hockey things that we're going to talk about before we talk about the really shitty NHL things. So yeah, let's go. Women's hockey. The PWHPA. Remember when last time we recorded, we were like, the game's on at 7 o'clock. I don't see why I can't find it. And it was 7 Pacific. California that was time, the answer. Yeah. So anyway, that game ended up Team Harvey's won, which was the team with Marie-Philippe Poulin. They were the strongest team all season. They had the top goal scorer, the best goalie, you know.
No shocker here.
Exactly. It was a little bit shocking because when I turned it on, the other team, Team Scotiabank, Kelly Panic had scored twice. So it was 2-0 very quickly into the first period. But they ended up winning 5-4. Emily Clark got a hat trick. Love that for her.
Love to see that.
Keep that going. All the Americans that scored, stop. No more.
Not allowed? Question mark.
Not allowed. That is how I feel about it as someone who will be attending the Women's World Hockey Championships. No, thank you. To the Americans. No, thank you. Like, if I see Hillary Knight in Brampton, I will debate about, like, sticking my leg out and tripping her. I'm like, should I? Will I get banned from an arena if I do that? I won't, but I think about it. I would definitely think about it.
The thought would be there.
Yeah, exactly. They haven't officially announced the PWHPA league for next year, so that'll probably happen, I'd assume, in conjunction with the, I don't know if it'll be the beginning or the end of Worlds, but it'll be sometime in conjunction with the Women's Worlds. Yeah. So, that's exciting. PWHPA stuff. Okay, what else have we got? The PHF playoffs, their final is actually on in about 20 minutes. We'll get to who's playing in the final in a second, but their playoff format, they actually had a 3-game series for the semifinals, which is good, but I don't like only having one final game. Like, I feel like they really should have done a 3-game series for the finals too. Like, makes it way more interesting, more butts in seats, more money. They're playing it at Mullet Arena in Arizona. I know I shat on Mullet Arena, but it's fine. It's a good size for women's hockey. It might also be a good size for the Arizona Coyotes, but that's not a good thing.
No.
Think about the infrastructure the Arizona Coyotes have with the NHL, and then think about what the PWHPA and the PHF have, and go, oh, these should not be played at the same rink. and be filling the same number of seats. Like, there's a problem here. Anyway, I gotta stop railing on the Arizona Coyotes for a little bit. they also have confirmed this was a semifinal game, so go to a 10-minute 3-on-3 overtime, followed by shootout if needed. And I don't know if they ended up. They didn't end up needing it, but I assume it's the same rules for the finals. I guess we will find out tonight. The other thing was, so the Whitecaps beat the Boston Pride, I think, who was the top team in the league, to make it to the final. So that's very exciting. They actually swept them. And Toronto, oh crap, I can't remember who they're playing. Oh no, I can't remember who they were playing. I want to say the Whale, the Connecticut Whale. I'm fairly confident in that fact. Yes, because Colton Orr coaches that team. It's coming back to me. It makes sense, I swear. Anyway, so they lost their first game, and then the second game went to overtime, so they had to win to stay alive. And Emma Woods scored the overtime winner, the biggest goal in Toronto Six franchise history. And then they ended up pretty handily winning the third game. So we have Isabel Cup final. Minnesota Whitecaps versus the Toronto Six. It's on your TV, ESPN2, and on TSN, 9 p.m. Eastern. I know this is too late for you right now, but I will try to remember to tweet out before I forget, before we're done. We'll see. Anyway, so that's super exciting. Some other things related to that is Shannon Turner of the Whale has officially retired. She is a PHF lifer. She was there from the very first season, and she was the captain of the Whale, and had a really big impact on women's hockey in general, but the Whale specifically. So congrats to Shannon on her retirement.
Congratulations, happy retirement.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm gonna get the letters wrong because I'm now talking about the Professional Hockey Writers Association, the PHWA. That's not my fault, that's their fault collectively. has opened a women's hockey chapter, which is really, really good. They'll vote on the PHF's most valuable player for this season. And they'll have a seat in the table in helping shape the PHF's media access policy in the near future, which is really good as well, because there's been like a couple complaints about some of the times, like they schedule with a lot of the way the women's hockey writers are, they most of them have regular full-time jobs. So there have been problems where they'll 30 minutes before they want to make an announcement say, hey, we're having media availability midday on a Tuesday, and you're like, oh, scrambling, seeing if you can make up a meeting in your calendar to attend. So I think that'll help the media members who have been covering women's hockey from the start, but all along, especially the PHF all along, will have some say in making sure that it's accessible to, you know, everyone. What else do we have? There's something else about that. I don't remember. They do have words. They have a couple people that have said that they are part of it are the people who have covered women's hockey from the start, like Melissa Burgess, and who are part of these smaller publications like the Victory Press and the Ice Garden. So that's really important as well. Hopefully it'll stay a little bit like that, and we don't have, you know, random man from Sportsnet does an article that makes no sense where they only talk to Marie-Philippe Poulin because that's the only person they know. type thing happening. Okay. I'm really struggling today. So the PHF awards for this year, these are the finalists. Most valuable player are Lauren Gable from Boston, Kennedy Marchment from the Connecticut Whale, and Corinne Schroeder from Boston. Outstanding player of the year, again, Lauren Gable from Boston, Kennedy Marchment from the Whale, and Corinne Schroeder from Boston. It's a little familiar there. Defender of the year, Callie Flanagan from Boston, Sydney Moran from Minnesota, and Mintu Tuominen from the Metropolitan Riveters. Goaltender of the year, Elaine Tuohy from Toronto, Amanda Lavelle from Minnesota, and Corinne Schroeder. Oh, I didn't realize she was a goalie from Boston. There you go. Newcomer of the year. I actually really like that as a concept, newcomer of the year, because it's not necessarily, it could be a rookie. It could be someone who came from another professional women's league or the PWHPA. Mm-hmm. So I do really like that. That is Anne-Sophie Bette from Montreal, Lauren Gable from Boston, or Brittany Howard from Toronto. All of those were former PWHPA players. And then Rookie of the Year was Elizabeth Gigere, probably, hopefully. I try my best. From Boston, Corinne Schroeder from Boston, and Natalie Snodgrass from Minnesota. And then I believe this award is like a community support award, the Denna Lang Award. Lauren Kelly from Boston, Louisa Berndsen. There's too many consonants in a row. I'm trying my best. There's seriously 6 consonants in a row. That's too many. Berndsen. I tried. Okay. From Buffalo, Mallory Sloytis. I'm very sorry. I'm probably butchering this. From the Connecticut Whale, Casey Anderson from the Metropolitan Riveters, Jonna Albers from Minnesota, and Sophie Bette from Montreal, and Brianne Wilson-Bennett from Toronto. So I assume we will find out tonight. I don't actually remember hearing. Oh, no. They normally have an award night. They normally have like the NHL awards are and stuff. Okay. Two last women's hockey things. One of the best Finnish defenders, Jenny Hirkovsky, had her neck cut with a skate blade during one of her SDHL games, which is absolutely terrifying. It was actually the final, so they suspended the game. Thankfully, the situation, it was resolved very quickly. She's okay. They actually end up finishing the game. So I guess they felt comfortable to say she is okay. We're going to finish the game, which is kind of a crazy thing anyway. So she didn't finish the game. She went to the hospital. There's about 3 minutes left in the game. So I think that's probably part of the reason why they finished it. But she said it was superficial wound, so it's no problem, but like that is one of the most terrifying things, is a skate blade to the neck.
Yeah.
Thank goodness, because like I said, she's genuinely one of the best defenders in the world and a big part of Finland's team.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Last women's hockey thing is the Patty Kazmaier winner is Sophie Jax. She plays for Ohio State. And she's actually the first Black player to win the Patty Kazmaier, which is really exciting. Okay, we are going to switch links in a second. And if you don't want to continue to listen about shitty NHL things that have happened this week, trigger warning, homophobia, domestic violence, transphobia. I think that's it. Which is honestly horrible that I have to say that phrase at all. This is the end of the episode. You can follow us on Twitter at For Puck's Sake Pod, Instagram at For Puck's Sake Podcast, TikTok at For Puck's Sake Podcast, and Tumblr at For Puck's Sake Pod. Okay, so I guess we'll start with the homophobia. This is fucked up that we have to talk about this again, and that we're going to probably continually have to talk about this. So, the Sharks had their Pride Night. Yay, good. They actually did some good things. They had these beautiful, beautiful jerseys that were designed by a queer artist. I believe they were auctioned off for profit, or like not for profit, that would be bad, to donate the profits. And then they also tweeted that their game coverage was going to look a little different, and they were instead going to offer information and facts about LGBTQ plus IA topics instead of live tweeting the game. Awesome. The bad part of that is James Reimer, who I don't even think I don't know what happened to the statement. Either way, he goes, "It is against my Christian beliefs. I'm not wearing one." So he puts out this big long statement. It's all basically, that's the gist of it. But also, I don't remember the phrasing, but it was something like, "I don't think you're bad people" type vibe, right? Like, "I don't think you're bad people, but I don't support you." I just
don't have words. Like, what?
Mm-hmm. This was just step number one. Then step number two, post-game. Oh, gosh, I forgot. Trigger warning, racism. I forgot about this bit because I put it on my head because I thought it was too insane. Post-game, good on the San Jose Sharks reporters. They talked to him after the game, and they're like, "What's wrong with you?" Well, in their nice reporter way. And he goes, and he says, he's talking about Nazem Kadri, and he says, he's kind of like flailing to answer the question that was asked. And yet people would understand if I wouldn't be able to wear a Muslim jersey in warmups promoting the Muslim faith, being a Christian and following Christ. He himself is fully aware of that. That's his phrasing in regards to Kadri. And then I think there was another comment. Yeah. So like he's basically comparing. He's just saying like these things are bad and they're equally bad. And you're literally talking about like the faith of a former teammate of yours. Like that's fucked up. Like. And he unprompted brought this up too. It's not like they were like, "Well, you know, Nazem Kadri's wearing the jerseys, why aren't you?" And he just unprompted is like, "Well, being Muslim is bad." Like
what? In your Christian faith, have you ever, learned James Reimer? You're not supposed to pass judgment on anyone. So,
yeah.
Why are you, I don't think you're bad people, I just don't support you. Like, what? James Reimer, I do think you're a bad person and I don't support you. So, like.
Exactly. Like. It's getting so frustrating, and it's actually like, I'm gonna say this, putting the homophobia aside for a second, it's fucked up that he brought up Nazem Kadri unprompted, brought up the Muslim faith unprompted, to just go, "These two things are bad. They're bad according to my religion." And they're not.
No.
Like,
different things. Like, people are allowed to, like, you know, practice their religion and like practice whatever the fuck they want because they're people and everyone has, like, you know, whatever. So like, for you to like be sitting here unpromptedly bringing up somebody else's religion, and not only that, but like as a person of color, like,
yeah. And as a person of color who, you know, has had a lot of shit for being a person of color, mm-hmm. and has had to deal with a lot of things that you have not had to deal with, What, like when you play like shit, you don't get a bunch of racist threats in your DMs and in your comments and sent to your fucking cat account. You basically just get told you're shit, which is fair. You are shit, and he is shit right now. He's a horrible goaltender. So like, literally, like, it's just
when you post pictures with your wife. I'm assuming he has a wife. Mm-hmm. Assuming, not yeah. sure. I. What the hell was that?
Did you see that? Yeah, was that a moth?
No, no way. There's a moth in my room. Okay. Anyways, back to what I was saying. I'm assuming you're married.
I'm pretty sure he is.
Not gonna pass judgment, but anyways, do you get 14-year-old boys commenting on it? Kill yourself. This is disgusting. This isn't right. No, you don't, because you're a white straight man.
Exactly.
Like, why? I don't even have like the thoughts in my brain to. Collectively, like, put out thoughts.
Yeah, it's honestly unfathomable to me that he would bring this up unprompted and say like the most vile shit to someone who was your teammate, who I don't know, potentially was your friend. I don't know the dynamics of that when they were on the Leafs, but like, and then Nazem Kadri gets asked about it because you brought him up. And you know what Nazem Kadri says? I support all people. Pride Night is great. We want to make the game more inclusive. Like
a normal human being, a normal brained human being.
Exactly.
Just all people should be able to do what they want.
Exactly.
Because, you know, free will.
Exactly. Like, it's just, it's, ugh. It's just horrible. What was the next thing that happened related to homophobia? So, you know, we all pile on James Reimer. Then a couple days later, the Hawks decide not to wear their pride jerseys on Pride Night. And they cite, this is I'm not gonna say the worst one, but this is like the stupidest fucking reason. Like, they cite concerns over Russia's anti-LGBTQ propaganda law as the reason, because they have three Russian players. Like, one, I don't think it's actually that big of an issue. And also, have you, like, has the U.S. looked at themselves lately? The laws that Florida is bringing in terms of their anti-gay, anti-trans, especially, legislation? Like, this is the lamest excuse.
Because of Russia, what are they gonna do? Pull the players back and reprimand them because of a team night supporting people who should be supported?
Exactly. And then you think about what other propaganda has the NHL propagated? Military nights? Why are you as a Russian player wearing
the U.S. military?
Exactly.
That's so
supporting
crazy
merchandise that supports the U.S. military. That's, they're an enemy state. Like, it's unacceptable. Like,
in the terms of like sports here, as a Leafs fan, I'm not gonna be wearing Habs stuff. That's just no, like, I'm not gonna do that. And you know what, like, you know who would look at that the same way? Russia. Oh, why are you as a Russian citizen supporting the United States military? But you know, you're not concerned about that.
Exactly.
You're not showing concern for your players. You just are shitty and don't like
Yeah, and they made that decision without consulting the players. They allegedly consulted some safety thing. Bill Daly, who's, you know, deputy commissioner of the NHL, says, with our research and our reports, we don't think that that is an issue for the Russian players. And if you personally, as a Russian player, feel that your family might be in danger because of it, for someone who has been like targeted by the Russian government before, perhaps maybe you say, I'm not wearing it, this is why. And people would accept that.
Because that is a, what do we call that? Valid reason. If you have safety concerns for yourself or your family because of something that the country you come from, like, you have concerns that something is going to happen to you or your family because of supporting something, not supporting, but like actively, like whatever, like showing, like just wearing a jersey, even that is just crazy to me, but like, yeah, Russia, exactly. You know, whatever. Like a statement, like, fine, like people would accept that because nobody wants you or your family to be hurt because of supporting someone. Like, that's not, like, support goes both ways. Like,
yeah, exactly. And like, if it was someone like Panarin, who we know has had issues with the Russian government before, absolutely, I would not question that at all. I would say, okay, yeah, I fully understand this man wants to make sure his family's safe. Exactly. We would accept it and not care. It's the citing your religion, citing the safety without actually, you know, illustrating that there is a safety issue.
Yep. And still, then again, like, the players can make that decision whether they have concerns for themselves or their family members, and they can be the ones to say that, like, hey, like, we have safety concerns. Like, it's not, it should never have been, if there was actual concern for your Russian players, it should never have been, we're not going to talk to them, we're just going to say that there's concern.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the Russian players should be the ones saying, yeah, I don't feel safe. It shouldn't be you deciding that your Russian players aren't going to be safe based on limited information and limited research. So that was the incident number two from the past 2 weeks. Number three is the Panthers had their... Panthers? Is that where the Stahl brothers are? Yes. Yeah. The two of them. There's two of them on the Panthers.
I think you're right.
So Eric and Mark Stahl are both on the Panthers. The Panthers had their pride night. The Panthers, who are located in Florida, as you'll recall, I'm not sure if that was clear in context or not, have continually been passing anti-gay and especially anti-trans laws that have made it very unsafe to be an LGBTQ plus person in the state of Florida, had their pride night. They had also had a beautiful jersey, absolutely beautiful. And Eric and Mark Stahl go, it's against my Christian faith to wear a pride jersey, and don't wear theirs during warmups. They're actually playing the Leafs this game. The Leafs, not to make it about the Leafs, but some nice little things. There have been lots of players this year who have the pride tape on their sticks most games all year round. The Leafs have had pride tape on their sticks for several times that they've played other teams during their pride nights. There was, I don't know, probably six or seven of them who had the pride tape on their sticks for warmups. Again, easy peasy, simple little thing that says, I see you, I support you, during this Panthers game. So Mark and Eric Stahl don't wear the jerseys for warmup. I don't remember if they don't participate in warmup, whatever. And then they put up this big long statement, it's against my Christian faith. Again, where? Also wrong, but where?
I was literally about to say, I would love for a single one of these, it's against my Christian faith, I would love for a single one of these people to cite where it says that.
Exactly.
give it to me. Give me the page. Give me the whatever the hell it's called. Give me the sighting, please. Yeah,
show me. Here's a Bible. Show me.
I bet none of these people have picked up a Bible in their life.
That's the other
thing. Like the thing.
You're hiding behind your religion, and there are plenty of Christian folks who support the LGBTQ+ community, are part of the community. They it's just you, bud. It's just you being homophobic and transphobic. Yeah. It's just you. And then Eric Staal is doing post game. And he says, I haven't worn a jersey before. Or they basically say, wearing a jersey is going too far for me. When it was the tape, it was okay. Because you could use it or not use it and kind of get away with it because no one really noticed. Not true. There were lots of people who were looking. And you make a little mental note. Actually, who was it? Oh my goodness, I can't think of her name. What's JT Brown's wife's name?
Lexi?
Yes. So Lexi Brown said when JT was playing and they had the Hockeys for Everyone nights, she would make mental notes of who didn't use the tape because she knew that person was not safe to her as a part of the LGBTQ+ community. And just in general, you kind of know the character of a person if they're not supporting, even doing the basic bare minimum to support a marginalized community. I know that I kind of did that too. If the Leafs were wearing pride tape and warm up, I'm making sure everyone's wearing it and making sure my favorite players are wearing it. I think a lot of people in the community do that because they go, oh, okay, this person is safe to have as my favorite player.
Even you see it scrolling through Twitter on pride nights for years and years. I've always noticed people being even just tweeting out so-and-so's not using pride tape.
Or Travis Dermott where it uses his all year round. And I don't remember what he said, but I think it's just he said something he has friends and family in the community. He wants to show them his support. And he had a Leafs pride hat. First of all, I can kill the Leafs. Let me have that black pride hat, please. They only had the white one every time I was looking. I'm like, it's not as nice. Anyway. But he wore the Leafs pride hat all the time.
All the time.
If you see him in any of the shots of him in the summer, he was wearing the pride hat and
walking into the stadium. Yeah,
it's little things like that. And Mitch Marner, I don't remember what they're called, but there's specific lines of I think it was Adidas or something where he's wearing the pride line of this Adidas hoodie, and Austin Matthews with his trans flip-flops, the UGG flip-flops that are kind of ugly, but also, I don't know. They look kind of nice. I don't know. I have questions. like those little things that just say, we're okay kind of thing. Anyway, so Eric Staal basically goes and says being forced to wear a jersey is too far. And then he goes, I never have. I haven't worn a pride jersey before. He was on the Habs during the 2020-2021 season, and there's literally photographic evidence of him wearing a pride jersey. And I this man literally trying to gaslight us into not believing that he hasn't worn one before. This is the only reason why this large outcropping is happening is because they, the NHL and the Flyers, let Provorov get away with it. And that's a problem. They are genuinely moving it in the opposite direction. And we talked about this before about I see way more homophobic comments now than I did a year ago. And transphobic especially. There's a lot of horrible things. I have been even better about not looking at the comments on Pride posts because they're vile, absolutely vile. They had a Hockey Night in Canada last night, they had Brian Burke talking about it because his son was gay, and they were kind of the ones who pushed for this inclusion in hockey. And Brian Burke is obviously a big supporter of the LGBTQ plus community. And like, I literally like quote tweeted the video and was like, Brian Burke is wrong about a lot of things, but he's always right about pride. And some asshole replied to me, doesn't follow me, replied to me, found me in the cute quote retweets, and like was like, no, he's always right about the hockey stuff because it's his job, but he's wrong about this pride stuff. And I'm like,
I
get fucked.
Like, that is just the craziest thing to me. Like, people who think that it's wrong, and like, you're spending your time scouring the internet to comment.
Mm-hmm.
Why are like
yeah, to like, and to come into a queer person's replies and tell them that pride is bad and being queer is bad. And like, I know I don't get a lot of shit, but like trans people especially, and people and non-binary people especially, get so much shit. And it's absolutely vile, and it shouldn't be happening. And by the NHL not punishing these people for their beliefs, in quotation marks, because you shouldn't have beliefs that certain people are less than others,
mm-hmm.
based on key facts about them as a person, their skin color, their race, their sexuality. They're in a way perpetuating this and saying homophobia is okay, transphobia is okay. I'm out of breath. Okay, I think that's it for that bit. Now we have another horrible thing. Trigger warning, domestic abuse and domestic assault. So the partial minority owner of the Arizona Coyotes, Andrew Barraway, was arrested in Colorado on a felony strangulation charge. This was against his wife. And there are lots of articles and research that says strangulation is basically a gateway and a way for... a gateway to further domestic abuse and potentially spousal homicide. So obviously this is horrible, and I hope his wife is okay, mm-hmm. and that she can get out of that situation, and that the NHL said he was suspended indefinitely. But like, what does that mean for an owner? I don't know. Like, he should be kicked out of the ownership group, mm-hmm. personally, and not be allowed to rejoin any NHL ownership group at all.
Suspended. Like, what does that... I'm gonna need further details here. Like,
yeah, exactly. What is the NHL saying? Like, what does suspended mean to an owner?
Are you looking at him and saying, we're not gonna take your money, we're not gonna take your opinion? Like,
yeah, like what does that mean? And I mean, we can, you know, liken it back to the fact that they are one of the only leagues who do not have a domestic violence policy, which is again a problem. Like, we've talked about players who have committed domestic violence against their partners, and it's just, it's horrible, and they need to have a policy in place, and it needs to be strict, mm-hmm. and it needs to be reasonable punishment.
Yep. Disgusting. Absolutely disgusting.
Yeah. Sorry for all the horribleness. Not that it's our fault, but sorry for all the horribleness.
That's wish it. We didn't have to, like, you know. Yeah. Sit here every week and rehash the same stuff over and over again, yes. because people are shitty and it costs nothing to be a good person. And
yeah, exactly. Mm. All right, that's it for this one. Hopefully we don't have to do this again. Okay. Bye.
See ya.